We want to continue our studies in Mastering the English Bible, the prophetic books. We are in Joel. Come to Joel, 12 of these minor prophets. Joel is very much talking about things that are just in front of us right now, in our time. Nothing's known about Joel. He was the son of Pethuel, spoke the word of God, spoke to Judah. He mentions the temple in chapter 1, verse 14. Don't know exactly when he gave the prophecy, so that all of that is not important, since God doesn't tell us. But the theme is important, the theme of the prophecy. And the most important thing we need to know is the theme, and that is perfectly clear. The theme is the day of the Lord. Chapter 1:15 through chapter 2:11, the day of the Lord. And that's in front of us now. It encompasses Armageddon, chapter 3, verses 2 through 16, the conversion and restoration of Israel, chapter 2, 18 through 27, and chapter 3, 16 through 21, and the outpouring of God's Spirit on all flesh, chapter 2, verse 28 through 32, the day of the Lord, which is a long period of time. The urgency of the prophecy is that these events are imminent today, at hand, any time. The rapture of the church can occur any time, and then will begin the day of the Lord, and the coming of the Antichrist, and these events will roll along very quickly. In just 7 years, Christ will come. We could be 7 years away from the establishment of Christ's kingdom. 7 terrible years, as described in Revelation. And so, this is a very important book for a New Testament believer. These things give us the right worldview, right way of thinking. We can look beyond this world and beyond all the things that most people are consumed by and with, and see way beyond to see these things. That's how God wants us to live. Set your affection on things above. This is how we do it, through Bible prophecy. We have an outline of Joel here, God's chastening of sin, chapter 1, verses 2 through 12, God's call to repentance and revival, chapter 1, 13 through 2:17, the day of the Lord, chapter 1:15 through 2:11, Armageddon, chapter 3, verses 2 through 16, it's coming, the restoration of Israel, and the outpouring of God's Spirit on all flesh, right there in the textbook. Textbooks are very important, and we've put a lot of work into preparing textbooks for God's people. And so that we can have a complete package and can learn by our hearing and learn by our seeing, and we can have the textbook there to follow along and see it more clearly and to write in and to underlining things that are important. Yeah, that's how you learn. And so we're trying to educate churches to a higher and higher level, just with the knowledge of how to learn. Joel 1:15 through 2:11 is the day of the Lord. It's the major theme. The day of the Lord. There was a judgment in Joel's day, but it points to the future. Double fulfillment, as we have noted. Double fulfillments in Bible prophecy. And we're trying to show how to interpret the Bible as we go through mastering the English Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And in each section, the principles, the basic principles of Bible interpretation, we're emphasizing so that we don't just have a course in Bible study, which is very important, but we learn it as we go through and see the scriptures. And this is the period of time in which God will judge the world and establish his kingdom on earth. It's called the Lord's Day, in contrast to man's day. This is man's day right now. Man's on the throne. He thinks he'll be on the throne forever, but that it's very short. Man's day, very short, and it's going to come to an end. The day of the Lord, as we've seen, but these things are repeated. And obviously we need repetition, and we all know that we do. And the day of the Lord is a long period of time. And and some prophecies focus on one part of the day of the Lord, and some prophecies focus on the whole thing. But it refers to the great tribulation. And then beyond that, the second coming of Christ, and even the millennium, and the kingdom, and the great white throne judgments. A judgment, that's all the day of the Lord, when God will finish up his plan for this present earth and this present world. The day of the Lord. Joel chapter 1. Let's go to Joel chapter 2, the day of the Lord. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it's nigh at hand. It's nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains. A great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. Same thing is described in Revelation. Like the noise of chariots on the top of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble. As a strong people set in battle array, before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. When they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be darkened. The stars shall withdraw their shining, and the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he's strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great, very terrible, and who can abide it? There, the day of the Lord. One of the great prophecies of the day of the Lord. It's at hand. It's at hand. It's at hand right now. Any time the rapture can happen, and then it will begin. It's at hand. It's imminent. Many scriptures describe that. The rapture of the New Testament saints is at hand. It's just right here somewhere. The events of Revelation are at hand. Revelation 1:3 and 22:10. At hand. Any time. Better get ready. Don't plant your life deeply in this world. Live lightly in it, and because it's going to be over. Well, the normal age is about, 75 or older now, and I have plenty of time. You don't have any idea about that. Not any idea whatsoever about that. And furthermore, the rapture can happen. And the hours, obviously, very late. They're planning, Israel's back in the land, they're planning the third temple. We need to wake up. Indeed, we need to wake up and live our lives with the right Bible mindset. Make all of our plans with the right Bible mindset. in light of Christ's coming and the work that I have, He has given me to do if I'm saved. A lot of work, big work. Right Bible mindset. And so we see that it will come as a destruction from the Almighty. We give some of the basic lessons here from this passage. Alas for the day. Terrible day. Day of judgment. Horrible day. Joel says the day of the Lord is great. Very terrible. We see that it will be upon the crops and the cattle. Verses 16 through 20. Famine. Famine. And that in the opening of the seals in Revelation. Famine will destroy multitudes. Famine, we say, well, modern technology, we don't have any famine. There's still famines. In Africa, there's continual famines in some of those places. But the biggest famines, and there's always been famines, and the biggest famines is coming. The day of the Lord, great and terrible famines. The day of the Lord's a day of darkness. Chapter 2, verse 2. Day of darkness, darkness. Many prophecies describe the darkness. Very dark, Amos 5:20. The darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. Mentioned in many passages, as we give the revelation, the references here. Darkness. And that will intensify the judgments when things are dark. Things seem to be dark. It's a time of depression. The darkness. It appears that it will appear multiple times during the day of the Lord. The sun will be darkened at the beginning and at the opening of the sixth seal. And at the end, darkness. At one point, there will be total darkness, Revelation 16:10. Total darkness. Darkness as on the day, in the judgments of Egypt, darkness can be felt. Nothing will penetrate it. No light will penetrate it. And God will say, yeah, you're in darkness. We're spiritually dark. Every lost person is spiritually blind, but he thinks he has light. And God's going to show man that he doesn't have any light, just darkness. And eternal judgment is described as eternal darkness. Darkness. The day of the Lord will be unprecedented. Chapter 2, verse 2. Unprecedented. That's repeated in the prophecies. A day such as this world has never seen. A time of trouble as the world has never seen and never will be again. Unprecedented. That prophecy is in Joel and in Daniel and in Jeremiah and in Matthew. The day of the Lord will be a day of war. A day of war. Horrible war. Wars like this world's never seen. This world's seen some big wars. Horrible, terrible. But nothing like what is coming. This army of Joel 2. This army of Joel 2 is probably an army of demons. It's described in Revelation. And many armies will march in the day of the Lord. Many armies here and there across the earth and large navies. The army described in Joel 2, probably the army of Revelation 9, 14 through 19. Revelation 9:14. If you take this course seriously, you'll look up all the things that we don't look up. Just touching some highlights in our class together. Revelation 9:14, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day, and a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. The number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed. The third part of men. The third part of the population of the earth. And before this, a fourth part had already been killed. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And it says men don't repent, even in spite of this. And so these great armies and supernatural armies, 200 million men, third of the population killed. Currently, that's eight. The population of the earth is 8 billion. And then the day of the Lord will bring earthquakes, and that's mentioned often in the prophecies. All kinds of earthquakes. And Jesus said there will be earthquakes as just the beginning of troubles, and as a sign that the great tribulation is coming. Yeah, we see them. See those earthquakes. April 2015, I was in the great earthquake in Nepal. Killed 9,000 people that day. 23,000 injured. Massive number of homes destroyed. We were in church. Earthquake hit. And those earthquakes kept coming for months and months. Wake up at night with the house shaking. And the people around us would be screaming and running out of their houses because they're lost and they don't have any hope. And they'd say, "Well, Io, earthquakes come." Yeah, haven't seen anything yet. And I preached about that at that time. We haven't seen anything yet. Earthquakes that will remove islands, that will collapse the mountains. The day of the Lord will involve signs in the heavens, Joel 2:10. And Jesus taught that. The darkening of the sun, moon, and stars. And Revelation teaches that. Many prophecies. Signs in the heavens. And the day of the Lord, God will shout before His army, Joel 2:11. That's the Lord of the hosts. The Lord of hosts. Jehovah of hosts. Jehovah Saba. And His great army of angels, each one of them mighty, called mighty angels. One of them destroyed Sennacherib's army of 200,000 men. And here's a whole host, innumerable host of angels. God Himself, the Almighty God, Lord of hosts. God is called Lord of hosts 245 times in the scripture. Lord of hosts. Yes. And the name, the term Lord of hosts signifies God's omnipotence. Lord of hosts signifies God's faithfulness and dependability. Lord of hosts, because He executeth His word, Joel 2:11, and He has the power to do whatever He says. We don't. Well, I'll see you tomorrow. You don't know. Well, we're going on vacation this summer. You don't know. But God, when He says something, that's it. He has the power to do it. All these things, He's going to do it. They will be done. The Lord of hosts is the Redeemer. The Redeemer. Now, Joel 3, 2 through 16, Armageddon. Armageddon. The world, if they know anything about the Bible, often knows something about Armageddon. Yes. Joel 3, 2 through 16. Armageddon. I will also gather all nations. Still the day of the Lord. Descriptions of it. Warnings about it. And will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, which is probably the Kidron Valley. Anyone that visits Israel as a tourist sees the Kidron Valley between Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. Will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. I'll plead with them for my people. God uses pagan nations to judge Israel, and then God judges those pagan nations. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, he's talking about Israel. And Israel during the day of the Lord will be greatly, greatly, greatly persecuted, sold as slaves like in the old times. Yea, what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Zidon, and all the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? If ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? You're going to pay me for my people? Well, I'll pay you, God is saying. Because ye have taken my silver and my gold and have carried into your temples my goodly pleasant things. Well, we know that was a judgment of God on Israel, but God's still going to call them to account. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah. And they shall sell them to the Sabians, to a people far off, for the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles, prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Yeah, it's time of war. God's announcing the time of war, beating the war drum. Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen. Gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down. Gather them together. Let's have some war. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. For ye, put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for their wickedness is great. The blood will flow to the bridles of the horses in the valley of Megiddo. And apparently this battle will encompass about 200 miles altogether, all the way up to Jerusalem and even beyond in other prophecies. It's a very huge area that is going to be involved in this battle of Megiddo, the Armageddon. Multitudes in the valley of decision. What amazing language this is for an amazing subject. Multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withhold their shining. Again, that prophecy. And the Lord also shall roar out of Zion, Jerusalem, and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake. And the Lord will be the hope of his people, and the strength of the children of Israel. Yes, he will. And what a magnificent prophecy. The final warfare of the great tribulation. And Armageddon. Armageddon, that's what it is. And that is the heel of Megiddo. Megiddo is in the heart of the valley of Megiddo. And that great valley has been the scene of so many great battles mentioned in the Bible and in secular history. Napoleon's army fought in the valley of Megiddo. Napoleon, rampaging around, took his armies from France and rampaging around in that part of the world until the British destroyed his ships, and that was over. And so he took off back to France and left his army to do whatever they could for themselves. That was Napoleon. Yeah, lots of things have happened in the valley of Megiddo. And the British fought there and defeated the Turks at the end of World War I and took that land away from the Turks. Armageddon, it will occur after God brings Israel back into the land. Joel 3:1. Yeah, they're back. They're back. We saw how they need Ezekiel 37. They will return in two stages. First, spiritually blind. That's where they are today. And then they will be touched and they will be converted and they will be spiritually alive. Ezekiel 37, 7 and 8. Extremely important prophecy that enables us to understand what is happening in Israel today. We see that Armageddon will involve all nations. Joel 3, 2. All of them. All the nations are against God, shaking their fist at God. America's shaking its fist at God. Not every American, but as a nation, our highest levels of government shaking their fist at God. Well, that's America. and democracy, the whole world today, Armageddon will involve all nations. We see that in Revelation 16:14. The evil spirits will issue out of the mouths of the devil and of the Antichrist and of the false prophet, all of them those two demon-possessed men. And they will go and deceive the leaders of the nations by miracles. Don't believe a miracle unless it can be backed up by the Bible. The devil's a miracle worker. And that's what's going to impress these leaders, these national leaders. And they'll say, whoa, miracles. Yes, we'll back this man, the Antichrist. We'll back him. Go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Those miracles, Revelation 16:14. Armageddon will be in the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that's probably the Kidron Valley. Traditionally, that's what it is. But it will encompass the battle of Armageddon, that final war battle, will encompass a huge territory. All the way down to Edom. From Mount Carmel all the way down to Edom. It will have various aspects of it. And then Armageddon will be God's judgment on the nations for Israel's sake. Yeah. Israel is God's nation. And they have got the promise of Abraham. He that blesseth thee shall be blessed, and he that curseth thee shall be cursed. Now, there's no doubt that that America has been blessed for blessing Israel. Has not blessed Israel perfectly. Of course, Israel's a mess. She's over there in apostasy. But still, that's Israel. Don't want to mess with her. God's people. He's dealing with them, and he will deal with them. All nations. We see that Israel's called by God, my people, my heritage. Chapter 3, verse 2. My people, my heritage. Still are, in spite of their apostasy. The land of Israel is called, in Joel 3, 2, my land. God said, it's my land. Well, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Psalm 24, 1. But that land in particular is God's land. And God gave it to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David. And in 1 Chronicles 16, 13 through 16, David can affirm that Abraham's covenant passed through Isaac and Jacob to Jacob's children, the nation Israel, and that the promise includes the inheritance of the land. Yes, David taught that. 1 Chronicles 16, 13 through 16. Very important passage. Very important passage. And so, it's up to the student to take these things seriously and look further into them. And one of the ladies at this meeting had told me she goes back through the videos. Now that's taking the studies seriously. It has nothing to do with me. I'm trying to be a servant to God's people. And we need to learn. You have to learn how to study the Bible, and then you have to work at it. And I guess it's that four-letter word that puts a lot of people off. But the dividends. There's not any work on earth that pays greater dividends for the work you put into it than Bible study. It has benefit to every aspect of your life, your mind, in your Christian life, in your home, and your church. Everything flows out of our knowledge of the Bible. And the more we're immersed in the Bible, then the more this power, this wisdom will come into our lives, into our homes, and into our churches. Though God brought judgment on Israel because of a rebellion, he also holds the nations accountable for their treatment of Israel, as we've seen. He twice says to them, Joel 3, 4 and 7, I will return your recompense upon your own head. What? In how you've treated Israel. And during the day of the Lord, the nations will be given a choice as to how they will treat Israel. And 144,000 Jewish evangelists will go out and preach what chapters out of the Bible Could you answer that question? And they will go out and all over the world they will preach, and Israel and the nations will have an opportunity to know to decide what to do. And then when Christ returns, he will judge the nations on the basis of what they did with Israel, how they treated Israel when Israel was being persecuted. That's Matthew 25. God promises to bless those who bless Israel and curse those who curse him. Genesis 12:3. Yes. And so God pronounces judgment on these nations for their persecution and hatred of Israel. Well, we know that's going on today. We know Israel is surrounded by enemies that hate her, have tried multiple times to wipe Israel off the face of the earth over there. And who? Assyria? That happened to Assyria? That happened to Babylon? God judged these nations for their hatred of Israel. It happened to the Ammonites, Moab, Edom, the Philistines, Tyre and Sidon, all judged by God. And these nations today that hate Israel. And it's not just the Arab nations. And it's not just the so-called Palestinians. But most of the world hates Israel and votes against Israel in the United Nations. Well, all that's going to be dealt with by God. God sees that. We see that God has a long memory. He doesn't forget anything. Man thinks, well, if God saw that, then he's forgotten about it. That's a long time ago. No, sir. God has a long memory, a perfect memory. Everything will be brought into account. The nation scattered Israel, Joel 3:2. They did. And they will again. The nations parted God's land, chapter 3, verse 2. They sold the Jews as slaves, Joel 3, verse 3. They sold the Jews as slaves to the Grecians, as slaves, to remove them from their land, Joel 3, 3 and 6. God says, my people, but they were under judgment. Israel was under judgment. But God says, they're my people. You sold them as slaves, and I'm going to take into account for that. And he talks to Tyre and Sidon particularly about that. Tyre and Sidon up north, north of Mount Carmel, up north, the Canaanite trading empire called the Phoenicians. And God says here that they were gloating over Israel's judgment, destruction. And they got hold of Jews and sold them. And God said, I'll take you to account for that. Tyre and Sidon hated the Jews, wanted to depopulate the land of the Jews, Joel 3:6. Yeah, and they will again. And Rome did that, and Rome was destroyed. Rome sold Israel into slavery, and Rome was destroyed. Armageddon. A day when the nations will prepare for war. Verses 9 through 11. Prepare for war, God says. At the United Nations headquarters, as we've mentioned, New York City. On a wall across from the headquarters building where the world does its political business there. World government, they're trying to be. And on the wall right across, and that building is on the river there, the Hudson River. And is Isaiah 2:4 inscribed on the wall, right there from the King James Bible. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up nation against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And that's what the United Nations has always promised. We'll bring to pass the prophecies of God, a Bible prophecy right there on the UN's wall. And they can no more do it than the man in the moon. And they have not done anything to bring world peace, really. And the greatest wars are yet to come. Yes, Armageddon. And so God, today, it's not a time to beat your swords into plowshares. That's not the prophecy. It's a time to beat your plowshares into swords. That's the prophecy for today. And that's what God says. God says. And so, The day of the Lord, the day of Armageddon, the day when God will judge the heathen, the day when the sun and moon and stars will be darkened, a day when the Lord will roar out of Zion, yes he will. His feet will touch on the Mount of Olives and it will split. God will, from Jerusalem, go and destroy the nations that are aligned against Israel and against God. He comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Second coming. And then finally, Armageddon in Joel 3:16 is a day when the Lord will be the hope and strength of his people, Israel. Yes, they will be converted. And their hope will be in Jesus, the Christ. And they will receive him. And God will protect them. And God will save them. And all those things are coming, described in Joel chapter 3. And so we will stop there this session and continue the studies in the Minor Prophets when we come back.